2 Kings chapter 5, and our text for this morning is that verse 3. And the little maid, that is, said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. And as we continue our series in the wicked and wonderful women of the word, we want this morning to consider this little maid. Now, apart from one verse in the New Testament, all that is said about this man Naaman is written here in this 5th chapter of 2 Kings. What is written about him is certainly very impressive, as we read there in the opening verse of the chapter. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master, and honorable, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor. All very impressive indeed. Until we come to the final few words of the verse. For there we read, but. That word, one word, changes everything. But he was a leper. Naaman. The name means pleasant. But leprosy, like sin, can make that which is pleasant very unpleasant. But then the next person we are introduced to is one whose position in Syria was not as prominent and did not have such a high profile as Naaman. Captured when Naaman and his Syrian army invaded Israel. We read in verse 2 that he brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. The fact that she was a little maid would speak to us of her insignificance. Here we have a very insignificant individual. Naaman, we are told, was captain of the host of the king of Syria, a great man with his master, honorable, and a mighty man in valor. But then when we come to the other person, this young woman, she's just described as a little maid. An insignificant little maid in the land of Syria, far from her home in Israel. And this is emphasized, that is, her insignificance is emphasized, and we know the meaning of the word little. For the word little means young, it can mean least, or it can mean less, as though to emphasize her insignificance. We can see how the word is used in Nathan's parable that he spoke to King David. Turn to 2 Samuel, and there in chapter 12 of 2 Samuel, we read, 2 Samuel 12 and verse 1, And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. And he came unto him and said unto him, There were two men in one city. The one was rich and the other was poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. Then the next verse. And the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb. What was one little ewe lamb compared to the man who was rich and had many flocks and herds? The little ewe lamb appears very insignificant compared to what the rich man owned. And then the same word is used by Elijah in 1 Kings 17 and verse 13, when he went to the widow of Zarephath, and all she had was a handful of meal. And what did Elijah say to the widow? He said, make me thereof a little cake first. Now, you wouldn't make much of a cake out of a handful of meal. And what was that little cake? It was small. It was very insignificant in the overall picture of things. And so that's used here. This is the word that is used to describe the one who waited on Naaman's wife. She was just a little maid. Remembering again the meaning of the word least or little or less. But there's something we should remember and never forget. Little is much when God is in it. Labor not for wealth or fame. There's a crown and you can win it if you go in Jesus' name. And God certainly used a little maid there in the house of Naaman. Now, we've spoken about her insignificance, but then at the same time, we see here her importance. She was little, yet very important in the house of Naaman. To think that such an insignificant individual could become such an important factor in the physical and spiritual welfare of this great man is indeed very remarkable and encouraging. To see how this little maid was used to bring about the healing of Naaman ought to encourage every Christian. Every Christian who thinks they are too little, too weak, too small, too insignificant, really to be of any good or any use to the Lord, you ought to take encouragement from the little maid in Naaman's house. Because that little insignificant girl suddenly became very important to the physical and spiritual needs of Naaman. And you know, the Lord does not overlook or ignore things that are little. That would be an interesting study. We'll maybe do it sometime. You look at the little things that are mentioned in the Bible. Here's a little maid. In the Song of Solomon, you read about the little foxes, but they spoil the vines, even though they're little. You see the damage they do. But here is a little maid, and you see the good that she did. And believer, the Lord does not ignore little things, the little things in this world. Turn, please, to Proverbs. In Proverbs 30. And there in Proverbs 30 and verse 24. Proverbs 30 and verse 24. There be four things which are little upon the earth, but they are exceeding wise. The ants are a people not strong, yet they prepare their meat in the summer. The conies are but a feeble folk, yet make they their houses in the rocks. They're feeble, but they do something. The locusts have no king, yet go they forth all of them by bands. The spider taketh hold with her hands, and is in kings' palaces. Now those words as well ought to encourage us. For of such little creatures, like ants and spiders, can accomplish so much, surely with God's help, we who are weak can accomplish much for Him. And how these little creatures would challenge us. Something else we might say about this little maid, and that is her influence. While she served in Naaman's house, she was the influence that really led to Naaman's healing, through her influence, that Naaman went to visit Elisha and find healing. It is obvious that the little maid knew the Lord God of Israel. She speaks about Him in that verse. And so she was an influence for good in that place. An influence for good in the house of Naaman. Likewise, we can be an influence for good and for God wherever we are. Here was a little maid, remember, a little insignificant person in the great house of Naaman, this mighty man. And yet we see what an influence for good she was. Let us remember the words of the Savior. When the Lord Jesus said that Sermon on the Mount, "Let your light so shine before men." And my, didn't the little maid let her light shine in the house of Naaman. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your which is in heaven." And this little maid, and remember, we're not even given a name. We don't know what she was called. She's a little maid. Why, you could easily read through that chapter and ignore her altogether. But here is that little maid, and she let her light shine. And this little maid, whoever she was, certainly did not let hide her light under a bushel. But my, she shone brightly for the Lord in the house of Naaman. She shone so brightly that she was able to guide leprous Naaman to the Lord. Yes. She not only guided Naaman to Elisha, but in so doing she guided Naaman to the Lord. Perhaps this little maid, we could call her the first girl guide. Because that's what she is. She's a little girl, and she guided Naaman to the Lord. So let us consider then this little maid. And first of all, we consider the maid, the worker in Naaman's house. The worker in Naaman's house. It is a remarkable story. It's a story of an Israelitish girl, a Jewish girl, living and working in a Syrian home. So how citizen of an enemy nation, before working in acts of Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria? Well, the answer really is simple. The providence of God. That's the only way you can explain this, that this little maid was found in Naaman's house. She could have been found in any house in Syria. But she was found in Naaman's house, and she was there by the providence of God. She was taken captive by the invading Syrian armies whenever they invaded Israel. Notice who gave Syria the victory over Israel. Now remember, Israel is the Lord's own chosen people. But you look there, the verse 1 of 2 Kings 5, and we're told he was an honorable man because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. And so the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. The Lord had enabled Syria to defeat Israel. The Lord was behind it all, as he always is. Now, ask ourselves, if the Lord had not given deliverance unto Syria, then this little maid would not have been taken captive, and this little maid would not have found herself serving in Naaman's house. What would be the chances of that happening? The one person who could tell Naaman about Elisha the prophet and about the God of heaven, who could do something for him and for his leprosy. What are the chances of that happening? Of all the thousands in Israel, the little maid is found in the hearts of Naaman, the man who had the leprosy, the man who needed to be told about the Lord. There you have the wonder and the clear example of God's providential workings of man. And God, through his providence, can place his witnesses in the most unusual places. This little maid was a child of the Lord, and yet she found herself in the house of the enemy. But if you go back to 1 Kings, this is not unusual in the providence of God. Because you go back to 1 Kings chapter 18, and we read in the opening verse, "And it came to pass after many days that the word of Elijah in the third year, saying, Go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria, and Ahab called Obadiah, which was the governor of the house," that is, of Ahab's house. Now, what kind of a person was Obadiah? Well, we're told there in the parenthesis, "Now Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. For it was so when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord that Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water." There in the providence of God, Obadiah is found in the very house of the enemy. He's a governor in the house of Ahab. And God has him there, that he might take 100 of the Lord's prophets and hide them and look after them and care for them protect them and provide for them. That's God's providence. Some might say, oh, those prophets were lucky, weren't they? Some might say, oh, what a coincidence that there was someone like Obadiah in the house of Ahab. Yes, providential coincidence. The Lord had Obadiah there. Just as the Lord had placed the little maid there in the house of Naaman. The Lord God of heaven gave deliverance to Syria that this little maid might be taken captive, be a worker in Naaman's house, and be able to tell Naaman about the Lord and about Elisha. God's providence today may place you and me, any one of us, in unusual places. Places perhaps are in the company we did not plan to be. And I think it is a good thing that when we find ourselves in such places and such circumstances, it's good for us to stop and say, now, why am I here? I shouldn't be here. I'm not usually here. Why am I here? We should think about God's providence and say, well, the Lord has me here for a reason. Maybe the Lord has me speak to somebody. Maybe there's somebody in this company I find myself in who needs to hear about the Lord. Because I wouldn't be here under normal circumstances. The Lord has evidently brought me here. He's brought me here to someone. There must be a Naaman in this company that I find myself in. And believer, when we do, I trust that we'll be like the little maid. And we'll speak a word for the Lord. So we see the providence of God in the maid working in Naaman's house. And then we have the prize that was gained. You see, the usual practice in the possession of their defeated foes as their spoils of war, as their reward for defeating the enemy. You come across that many times in Scripture. If you want to read 1 verses 9 to 12. When the Lord gave victory unto the Assyrians, they claimed the spoils of war. That was their prize for gaining the victory. But when we look there at the words of verse 2, and I find this interesting, look at the words 2. You would think by the word verse 2, little maid was the one and only prize that was taken in that invasion of Israel. Look at it. And the Syrians by companies, and had brought away captive. Doesn't say captives, plural. And had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. It's as if she was the only one that had been taken out of Israel. You read it, that's the way it appears. Of course, that's not what happened. But it indicates to us that this little maid was the one whom the Lord wanted to be in the house of Naaman. They had gone and a captive out of the land of Israel, a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. Others had been taken captive, of course, but the focus is on the little maid because the Lord wanted her there to be a witness for him. And unknown to Naaman, this little maid really was the jewel in the crown. He had taken the spoils of war, but the little maid was the jewel in the crown. Of all whom Naaman had taken captive, the little maid was the most important of all. Most important, because who else would be able to tell Naaman about the remedy for his complaint? Likewise, wherever in the providence of God we Christians find ourselves, we are the most important people in that place. We are. Now you take this town, or any city. There are the mayors and the councillors and the social workers. And there are all kinds of people who hold position in the cities and in the towns. But I'll tell you something, the Christians are the most important in any town or any city. Because the Christians are the ones who deal with those things pertaining to eternity. The mayor of this town only deals with temporal things. The mayor of Toronto only deals with temporal things. Any mayor does the same, deals with temporal things. He has to look after his people. But the Christian, you have a bonus if you have a Christian mayor. But the Christian, wherever we are found, we are the most important people in the town. Well, first of all, we're children of the King. That makes us royalty. But apart from that, we're the most important people in the town because we are the ones who work for eternity. We're the ones who labor with eternity's values in view. We're the ones who can tell people about the Lord and save their souls for eternity. Does that not make us more important than the man or the woman who's laboring and working for time and for temporal things? Makes us very important. Made this little maid very important. More important than Naaman realized, or more important than the little maid realized. So in the eyes of men, we may be little and insignificant as Christians. In the eyes of men, many men despise us. But in the eyes of our place, Port Hope, or wherever the Lord has come, wherever the Lord and the place here is important because we work for eternity. We are laboring for eternity with eternity's values in view. And so when you look at verse 2, we see how focused the Holy Spirit, the author of the book, was. It was as if she was the only one that Naaman heard out of Israel. Little maid. It looks as we're told in verse 1 that he was a leper. We're told in verse 2 that she was taken captive. We're told in verse 3 what she said. And so the indication is that wasn't too long before about Naaman's affliction that he was a leper. wife, the prophet that is in Samaria. And here we see, first of all, her boldness. Remember? She's just a in the house of Naaman. She's under Naaman and she's under his wife. His wife is her mistress. She's just a maid. Even the maid's quarters of the house. But here we find speaking to Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God her boldness. Her boldness is seen here first of all in her all is spoken. About that remedy for Naaman. Yet, believer, don't you and I know all about the fear of man, which bringeth a snare? And such is the fear of man, and so much does it ensnare. To say a word from the Lord, we keep silent because of the fear of men. We fear their faces. Well, here is the little maid, and she shows us the way. She has a thing or two to teach us. She didn't remain silent. She spoke to her mistress. She spoke up to her mistress to tell Naaman, the man who had captured her and brought her from Israel into his house. She wasn't afraid. She was bold. She was a bold little maid. How we need some of her boldness. And how we need to remember the words of the Lord Jeremiah the prophet. When the Lord called Jeremiah and sent him out to do a work for him and to preach to Israel. This is what the Lord said to Jeremiah. Be not afraid of their faces. He didn't say, don't be afraid of their weapons of warfare. Don't be afraid of their sword. Or their spear. He said, don't be afraid of their faces. What harm can their faces do to you? Be not afraid of their faces. I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And certainly the little maid wasn't afraid of the face of her mistress. Neither of the face of Naaman. And when you know that the Lord is with you, then like Paul, you will be able to say, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. We were bold. We were bold in our God. What did Paul say? Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But if we do fear the face of man, let us make it our prayer We read in Ephesians 6 and 19 that utterance may be given to me. Make that your prayer. Lord, take away the fear of man that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. Well, certainly this little maid opened her mouth boldly, and in as many words made known the mystery of the gospel. So we see her boldness and how she spoke to her mistress. We see her boldness and how she spoke for her master. She was a foreign land amongst the people who worshipped their own gods. Syrians weren't worshippers of Jehovah. Not by any means. They worshipped their idols and their false gods. And we find this little folk for God. Likewise, we are in a world that is not our home. We're only passing through. We're strangers in a foreign land. We are looking for a city which hath fallen, whose builder and maker is God. We're going on towards Jerusalem. This world's not our home. We're strangers here. And as we travel on through this world, let us be like a little maid, and wherever we can, speak a word for the Master. There are many who need him. And surely when the opportunity presents itself, may we be as bold as a little maid and tell that man or that woman he needs the Lord. Naaman needed the Lord, so the maid sent a word to him about God. We see her boldness. And then the thing that struck me here was also, she evidently had a burden for Naaman. And is that not remarkable? Naaman was the one, along with his armies, who had invaded her home, her land. Naaman was the one who had taken her captive and dragged her away from her home, and away from her family, and away from her friends, and her familiar surroundings, and brought them to the home of the man. And yet, this little maid evidently had a burden for Naaman. It's tough. Whenever my Lord, then would him, and it serves you right. It serves you right for taking me away from my home and my family and my friends. Many other person would have said, I couldn't care less, Naaman, if you've got leprosy. Others might have gone a bit further and said, Naaman, I hope you die of your leprosy because of what you did to me. But there was nothing like that. Nothing at all. The very opposite. This young woman had a burden for Naaman. And it is seen in the fact that she had a word for Naaman. You know, believer, whenever you have a burden for souls, doesn't matter who it is, you just want to see that soul saved. And even a burden for our enemies is an indication that we have a true burden for souls. I think again of Apostle Paul. And Paul stood before King Agrippa. He's a prisoner. Agrippa is Paul's enemy, and he's an enemy of the gospel. And yet, listen to what we read. Paul has been speaking to Festus and to Agrippa. And Paul says, "For the king knoweth of these things, before whom also I speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And Paul said, this is what he said. This is what Paul said to the man who had only to snap his fingers and Paul would have been led out and beheaded. But this is what Paul said to Agrippa. Paul said, "I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these bonds." In other words, Paul was saying to Agrippa and to Festus and to all those who were gathered in that judgment hall, Paul was saying, "Agrippa, before God, I wish you were as I am. I wish you were saved as I am. I wish you were as I am, except for these bonds or these chains. I wish, Agrippa, you were a Christian." There you have the words of a man who had a burden for souls, even enemies. We abhor Roman Catholicism. We abhor the teachings of Rome. But we ought to have a burden for the poor benighted Roman Catholic. They're lost in the grip of superstition and the dogmas of Rome. We ought to have a burden for our enemies and those who are the enemies of the gospel. This little maid evidently had such a burden. So we have her boldness, and we also have there her burden, and then we have her belief. Look at the words carefully in verse 3. "And she said unto her mistress, my Lord, were prophet, for he would recover him of his leprosy." There's her belief. She believed. She had confidence that God and the God of Elisha would be able to heal Naaman of his leprosy. She believed that. She exhorted Naaman to go to the prophet that is in Samaria. He would. Not he may be. Or perhaps he would be able of his leprosy. There's her belief. She speaks first of all about the person, Elisha, in Samaria. Now it's interesting. Do you know what Elisha's name means? Elisha means God is Savior. And Elisha, for Naaman, would become his Savior. Save him from leprosy. and lead them to God who was able to save them from his sin. And dear Christian, a greater than Elisha is here. One who is God and one who is the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. How often do we speak about that person? As the little maid spoke about the person of Elisha. So she spoke about the person, she spoke about the place. For she said, "Would God, my Lord, were a prophet that is in Samaria." In other words, the little maid told Naaman where he could find the prophet. Where he could find the man whose name means God is Savior. Now it's all right telling people and talking to people about the Lord Jesus. But we need to be able to tell people where they can find him. It would have been no good the little maid talking to Naaman about Elisha if she didn't know where Naaman could find him. And so when we talk about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to be in a position where we can tell the person how to find Christ. Could we lead a soul to the Lord? Could we open the Bible and know where to begin and know where to end and show them the way of salvation? We need to be able to do that. The little maid knew where Naaman would find the person of Elisha. You press on quickly, you have the power. She spoke to him about the power. The word for Naaman was, the prophet that is in Samaria, he would recover him of his leprosy. You take that word, recover. The word recover has a number of meanings. One, it means to remove. Now you can put that word in there, to remove. This man will be able to remove your leprosy. This man will be able to take away, the word means. He'll be able to take away your leprosy. What was John's message to the people? Behold the Lamb of God who taketh away the sin of the world. And here you have the little maid saying to Naaman, in this word for Naaman, this man will take away your leprosy. It's the power. The word means to remove. The word means to rescue. If Naaman went to Elisha, then the Lord through him, through Elisha, would rescue Naaman from the awful condemning condition and disease of leprosy. And we can tell people today about Jesus Christ. He's the great rescuer. He rescued women from their sin. He rescues men and women from the fires of hell. He's the rescuer. He'll remove the sin. Take it away. He'll rescue the soul. The word also means to restore. And the word here is used with regard to a person who has leprosy. And as we learned this morning in our Bible class regarding Uzziah the king, when the Lord smote him with leprosy, he had to go away and live in a house with other lepers. He was separated from his family and those who knew him. And sin has separated us from God. Sin has cast us out of God's sight. And only Christ can restore us. Only Christ can bring us back to that place of fellowship with God. We have a story worth telling. And then finally, with this I'll close. Notice her brevity. Verse 3, and she said unto her mistress, Would God, my Lord, were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. There you have the only words recorded that were spoken by the little maid. What is it? One sentence. One sentence. That's all she said. This was a short word for Naaman. And the Lord doesn't call us, doesn't intend for us all to preach the gospel. Maybe you have witnessed to someone and that said to you, Oh, don't preach to me. You may not see it as preaching, but that's how they view it. But let us follow the example of the little maid and just give a word here and there. Just sow the seed here and there. One sentence. One sentence was all that she spoke. And yet we all know the story well. How Naaman went, and Elisha told him what to do. He had first got mad, which I thought was interesting. Because in that verse 1 of the chapter 5, it says that he was an honorable man. The word honorable means gracious. But when Elisha told him to go and wash in the River Jordan, he got mad. And you know, doesn't that happen today? People who are ordinarily great, kind and quiet, you start to tell them about Christ, tell them they're a sinner, and they suddenly get mad. How dare you tell me I'm a sinner? That's what happened to Naaman. And he went there with a gift. Elisha didn't accept the gift. And people today still think that salvation can be bought. But as our dear Reformed friends were so keen to sing those words when they were here in the summer, hear the news, sinner, free, free, free. Why not believe it is good news for thee? Jesus, the just one, has died on the tree, died for guilty sinners, and praise the Lord, salvation is free. And you read the story and you find that Naaman was not only cleansed from his leprosy, he was cleansed from his idolatry, because he asked Elisha to pray for him, because he told him, I will never again offer a sacrifice but unto the Lord God of heaven. And that was all because of the little maid and the one sentence she spoke. See how the Lord can use any one of us. Here we have another one of the wonderful women in the Word. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Our dear Lord and gracious Father, we do thank you for the wonderful examples that are set for us by these men and women in the Bible, and certainly today of this little maid. Lord, have us to walk in her footsteps. Have us, Lord, to speak a word for Jesus whenever the opportunity arises. Write thy holy word upon our hearts, and take us now, Lord, to our homes in safety, and return us tonight to learn more of thee. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be your abiding portion now and forevermore. Amen.